helping realtors on Vancouver Island stay connected, current, and on the cutting edge. This is the Vancouver Island Real Estate Show. Here's your host, Braden Wheatcroft.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Vancouver Island Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Braden Wheatcroft. Thank you so much for tuning in on this beautiful Friday afternoon. If you're still working at 1:30 on a Friday when it's this nice in the fall, hey, congratulations. That is some serious dedication. We've got a great episode for you today. I'm very excited to be speaking with our host, James Polanio. He is the president of the BCREA. It's the British Columbia Real Estate Association, if you're not keeping up to date with all of those real estate acronyms that are out there. Our topic today, we're going to be talking about the Perrin Report. Now, this is a report that goes by a different name. The actual proper name of the report, as you can see it on screen here, is the Real Estate Regulatory Sector Review. It's riveting stuff if you're interested in all things organization of real estate. In the province here, it's a report about 56 pages in length, came out in early October, and it goes through quite a number of challenges that we've been experiencing in the organized world of real estate in BC, specifically around how we're governed, how we're regulated, how policy is created. This report goes in pretty good detail about some of the challenges that have come out of the last 2 years since the Independent Advisory Group report came out in 2016. And it makes a number of recommendations. So with that being said, we've invited the president of BCREA on today to make some comments towards, you know, the report itself, what his thoughts are, what the BCREA's thoughts are, you know, maybe what they like, what they don't like, and everything in between. So with all that being said, please join me in welcoming the Mr. President or El Presidente, James Polanio. James.
How are you doing? Thank you very much.
I am so good. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it. So walk us through this. We had this report come out in, I guess it was the first week of October. And I know that I had heard about it weeks in advance, but when it came out, there was a lot of interesting findings in it. I'm just curious from your perspective and the BCREA's perspective, what's your take on the Perrin Report?
Well, the Perrin Report, I think it was very good. Its task was to review real estate regulation in British Columbia. It was purposed to ensure that the regulation was in fact effective and ensure that all the participants, licensees and the public are protected. Yeah, I think it did a pretty good job of that. There's still some questions going forward. One of the recommendations does ask for a full-on review. So we will see where that takes us going forward. But overall, very happy with it.
Yeah, it is interesting to read it now. We're familiar with the report that came out in 2016. That was originally, I actually don't know who initiated that report in 2016, if that was the Real Estate Council, I believe, not the Minister of Finance. But it came out with the 28 recommendations, including us losing self-regulation through the Real Estate Council of British Columbia, having the superintendent of real estate, appointed overseeing a lot of these changes. And that was positioned at the time as being a way of us enhancing consumer protection and, you know, raising the bar, which I think most professional realtors agree is always a good thing. But there's been some challenges, obviously some stumbling blocks along the way. From your perspective, how is this report different than the one that came out in 2016 that saw the end of self-regulation through the council?
So you are correct. It was initiated, it says in the report, initiated by the Real Estate Council of BC, although I do feel that they were directed to initiate that report. It was focused on licensee conduct. Shadow flipping was at that time a word I'd never heard of as a realtor of at that time, well over a dozen years. That's what initiated the whole thing. And yeah. It was there to protect the public. The big things that happened with the IAG report, it did have 28 recommendations that council and the superintendent are moving through. The big ones was the removal of LDA or limited dual agency. and the conflicts that come from that. And the second one was the creation, I guess, of the Office of the Superintendent exclusively for real estate.
Right. Yeah. Is it fair to say that report in 2016, it focused a lot more on the conduct and the rules around licensees, whereas this is looking sort of bigger picture, the mechanics and the organizations involved in you know, where the licensees work?
Very accurate. Considerably more focused on our conduct and how we did work as realtors. What came about, however, was just a lot more questions, quite frankly, because they didn't go back far enough to get the right approach. They sort of started in the middle. What the Perrin report does recommend in one of his recommendations there is an extensive, and I think he noted it may take well up to 2 years, getting all the input from stakeholders to do a complete review of our regulatory system.
You know, I was just chatting with a friend of mine who's a mortgage broker over lunch before today's interview. And we're going to talk about FICOM a little bit more momentarily, but it's perplexing the amount of layers of organization and all the rules and everything that goes into it. Like, it is quite an undertaking to accomplish whatever it is they're looking to accomplish. Now, in the report here, I'm just reading some of my notes that there were three conclusions drawn. One was relating to policy development being a central issue, talking about regulatory structure contributing to dysfunction. You know, I think the example of the superintendent's office and the council actually not totally getting along, and there being some misunderstandings in terms of interpretation of rules and whatnot. And the last conclusion was expanding the scope of regulation more broadly to increase professional conduct and protect the public, which, of course, I can't get behind that enough. We always want to protect the public and raise the bar. What's the BCREA's perspective on those three findings?
Good. In short, your friend, your mortgage broker, is going to be included in the new regulatory body, is what is being suggested by the Perrin report. But not only that, they're also suggesting home inspectors, appraisers, and conveyancing, and developers as well. So developers that hire employees to sell real estate just for exclusively for them are all going to be put underneath this one umbrella. Any real estate activity or those associated with real estate activity are suggested to be included. So I agree with you 100%. It will certainly protect the public immensely. Going backwards, the regulatory structure is currently dysfunctional. That's highlighted by the fact that they sued each other earlier this year. So one body will certainly help us be able to direct our asks a lot better. And then the other recommendation, the policy development, it should be put back into the hands of the Minister of Finance, not the regulator, so that they can deal with it from a more practical approach.
So is it fair to say then if this magic wand that we know doesn't exist was real and we could wave it, and all of those organizations and professions you're talking about are all underneath the one organization, which I believe would be FICOM, mortgage brokers, building inspectors, there likely would be a lot of efficiencies being had, you know, some economies of scale, some consistency throughout all of them?
Well, you're asking me a question regarding the government, so I'm not sure how efficiencies pops into that. one would assume so. Yes, sure. It should be better. And we do hear, just regarding money laundering, a huge issue in the Lower Mainland. And realtors are saying, well, it's not us. We are being taken care of through the FinTrack legislation that we're working through. It's the lawyer. So it's always passing the buck. That won't happen if everybody's under the same umbrella.
Right. Yeah. Sure. As real estate licensees, we serve many masters, don't we? So there were three conclusions coming out of the report, but there was also four, and then I'm using the exact words here, significant changes recommended. Can you maybe walk us through some of those changes? I have the report here if we need to jump to it.
So, yeah, the four changes, combining the regulatory bodies, the Office of the Superintendent of Real Estate and Council, Happy about that. Again, I've mentioned the reasons why there won't be any conflict going forward, or at least arguably less conflict. The other recommendation regarding policy to be put under the Minister of Finance, that is another good recommendation, because not only does it put it there, it also strongly suggests input from stakeholders. BCREA is a considerable stakeholder in the decision-making process of real estate. Number three, I'm not too sure about regulate the regulator. Basically, I'd have to see how that is worked through, whether it ends up being another level of government or not. Accountability for the regulator is critical. We're going to have to work on how this one goes forward. So I will not state an opinion yet on that one. Number four is the overall review, review how policy, real estate policy fundamentals are put together. It's an extensive review regarding the policy development, the effects of some of the policy that's been created because of the GVRD, the Greater Vancouver Area, and how they affect the rest of British Columbia. So this review is even more extensive than the Perrin Report. In the Perrin Report itself, it says it could take up to a couple of years to get this done. They're going to get input from, again, all the stakeholders. At that point, I would assume it would be a lot of those mentioned earlier that would also be under that umbrella, which would include mortgage brokers, conveyancers, developers, and of course, BCREA. So that I would be excited to see that go forward, because on top of that, we have some of the disruptors coming into our industry, Zillow. You know, the approach that they're going to take coming into Canada, the effects of mere postings and how they are dealt with in regards to conflicts of interest and unrepresentation. So it's a welcomed review.
Yeah, the Zillow conversation is one I'm looking forward to having on our show, because it is going to be fascinating to see how, you know, technology innovation meets regulation and rules and things like that. So there's going to be an interesting conversation to have there. So as you're saying, like, you have an interesting point of view being a representative, the leader, one of the leaders in BCREA, reviewing the Repair and Report. It talks about the organizations that were involved in this process. So RECBC, as well as the Office of the Superintendent of Real Estate, Financial and Corporate Sector Policy Branch of the Minister in Finance, BCREA, as well as FICOM. So there's a lot of stakeholders, as well as real estate boards and individual licensees. Because you have a bit of seat at the table in terms of seeing this come to fruition, do you have any early indication of what of these recommendations are actually being considered right now at this point in time?
We did just hear to expect to be under the VICOM umbrella by the middle of 2019. That's the only information that we've been given. So I don't know if they're planning something prior to that. I would doubt it. I would suspect that would be the first recommendation or the first change. The other thing that we were told, which I think I might have hit on earlier, is the implementation is going to happen. Consultation is done. So what they're reading from this report is what they're going to start putting forward.
Fascinating. And just so that we're all clear, it was the Minister of Finance, I believe, who actually started this process out. Is that your understanding as well?
BCRA was asked or requested a review. Right. We were very happy that the minister agreed with us and proceeded.
That's awesome. So ultimately, as far as, I guess, what I'm trying to wrap my head around is who's making the decisions, who ultimately is going to receive this information and decide what, if anything, or all of it is actually going to get implemented. That's likely the Minister of Finance.
It will be the Minister of Finance and her team. They're going to review it, and they'll be ones making the decisions. However, some of the bigger decisions, as was noted in the Perrin Report, such as the Real Estate Services Act, significant changes like that are going to require legislative changes, and that'll be done in the House.
Awesome. And what's BCRA's perspective on the recommendations? Like you definitely seem to agree with a number of them. Is there anything there that you strongly disagree with, or really feel like there needs to be some enhancement on before they actually come out?
No, our concerns overall, it's positive. And as long as they continue to include stakeholders in the conversation, we will be happy. A little bit of a jab perhaps is there is a difference between hearing us and actually listening to us. So we want to make sure that they are listening and they do act on a lot of our suggestions, and they're doing well. Yeah. They are making some changes. There's the potential for, limited dual agency is a huge concern with folks, especially in rural, smaller communities. So that box has been opened again. They're going to relook at some exemptions. There may be some exemptions coming forward for commercial users as well. Limited dual agency was never, commercial was never the issue when that was taken away from us. So we are going to get some more opportunities to continue to work with whomever is leading us down the road.
Yeah, because my understanding from reading the report is that a lot of this is focusing on, so the 28 recommendations that came out back in 2016, quite a number of them have been implemented, but there's still quite a long list that is yet to be put into motion. And so there's conversation in this report around changing or amending or redirecting some of those decisions. But you're actually saying that we might actually even go back retroactively and potentially look at some of the previous changes that have already been put into motion.
And that was mentioned in the Perrin report. Yes, yeah. It was, I think it was just one line in that 56 page report that said it was a little bit rushed, and considering the political climate of the day, I understand why it was moved forward. But they did ask, or he did ask, to review some of these 28 changes. Maybe they all don't need to be done. And he did pull out limited dual agency as one that might need to be relooked at again. I do not at all expect that we will get back limited dual agency, but I suspect that we will be given a few more exemptions.
So if you've built your business on double ending and shadow flipping, you're still likely your business model's obsolete?
If it's shadow flipping, it always was obsolete. It should not have
been.
Oh, yes. Double ending, though, and that's where the exemptions are going forward. People are still questioning how you can talk to a client you've had for many, many years and tell them you can no longer represent them. So we're looking at some opportunities that may come up as to how we can move forward within the rule of not having limited dual agency, but having an exemption, whether it's somebody that is a past client and checking off a box going forward, or a full out letter that says I am I forget the word right now I'm looking for, but a savvy consumer, and I'm well aware of my role here.
Yeah, like a sophisticated buyer.
That's what I wanted. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, teamwork makes the dream work, James. In fact, you actually have a fan on here, by the way. We've got Kelly McKay says, "Hey, James." So I don't know who Kelly is, but your number one fan so far.
Excellent. Well, that's good to hear. Hello, Kelly. How are you? Kelly was here for a long, long time, and she's off in Ottawa now. I'm sure it's colder than it is here.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no kidding. Well, I want to ask you a little bit about the BCRA's role. I mean, as you say, you were invited in to be a stakeholder, have an opinion. You talked about there's a difference between asking the questions and actually listening to the answers. But of course, we can never expect to get everything we ask for in these processes either. But I'm curious, how does the BCRA plan to continue to advocate for its membership in the province here? Like, are there a couple of points that you guys are really focusing in on that you want to make sure that those get driven home throughout this consultation process?
The big issue is to be invited to the table. And that's where we're having and we have been invited to the table. We just had our government liaison days in Victoria a week and a half or so ago. And we're creating these relationships so that they do want to speak to us. They do understand that their goals are our goals, and that's protecting the consumer while still being able to do our job. So we're just creating relationships and always at having a good input into it, and not just complaining that we don't like the way it is, but offering suggestions as to how it can be changed.
Well, that's a perfect segue into my last question here, which is, you know, for those individual realtors who like to have a voice and like to advocate and be part of this process, like, what would you recommend to anyone who's watching this right now, who is maybe really unhappy with the directions going in, or maybe just has some ideas around, you know, what they'd like to see? Like, what's the best way for a real estate agent in the province to engage in this process?
I like this question because this is a little bit of an irritant of mine that I've been trying to get realtors to do is if you're not happy with things, you're not fully aware with things, become involved. You can join as a director, you can join as a committee member, but get your message out there, become part of the solution and collect input from clients. And I've been saying this everywhere I go as well. All politicians, they like to hear from their constituents. They want to know what the issues are and collect stories from your client, whether they're good or bad. If your client has a suggestion going forward, draft up some letters, send them off to their realtor, or send them off to the ministry. And so they can hear about them, so they can better understand how their legislation is affecting people and how they buy and sell real estate. It's great to tell your story to your coffee buddies at Tim Hortons, but that ain't going anywhere. You have to get the message to the people that can affect the change.
And what would be the best channel for that? If you could only have one, I'm hearing collect stories and anecdotes from your clients, because the politicians care more about the voters' voices than, say, the practitioners. But what would be if we could, you know, focus everyone's energy into one direction? Is there anything that comes to mind?
Claire, if you're asking about one direction as to one of the issues that's going forward, I think that we need clarity on the conflict of interest regarding right. past clients, yeah. future clients. So we need clarity on that. And if your clients are having concerns about that, just get that letter, get that information, get that story from them, and hand it off to your board office, and we will make sure it gets to the association and the minister. The conflict of interest and what is a conflict does seem to be a big issue. We're not hearing clear and concise answers right now. I suspect we won't for quite some time, unfortunately. So realtors are being overly cautious and until we get some clarity. And so that's where we need the stories, the people that have bought and sold real estate for many, many years, and then are told, you've used Braden today because he knew that your kid played ball, which is not a realistic story, but
someone who had a bankruptcy 5 years ago that is now doing really well. How relevant is that? You know, what's the expiration date on some of this information we have?
And that's exactly what we need. Is it current information? Is it old information?
Yeah. And how does it apply to this particular transaction?
Right. And I guess the irritant for me is that we abide by a high code of ethics. There's always bad apples in every industry. We have a high code of ethics. We have confidentiality. So we can draft documentation that protects our consumer and ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Now, that's all the prepared questions, James. Are you ready to go into the lightning round off script? You
know, okay.
I'm just curious. The thing that's coming to mind for me right now is talking about, you know, this recommendation of a pretty big overhaul, and how it could take a couple years from start to finish. Like, I haven't been in the industry long enough to be able to say 30 years ago this happened, but I mean, what does this mean for day-to-day life as a realtor in the next 18 to 24 months if we are moving towards these changes? Like, we were just playing by the current rule book up until it changes, even though we know it's going to change? Is that typically how this works?
The Perrin report did highlight the fact that during this review, there does need to be some sort of transitional process. It was not laid out very clearly.
Yeah.
But I haven't been in real estate for 30 years either. But we did have the Real Estate Services Act that we have today is not really that old. So I would suspect the process of transition that they used at that time could well be effective. However, right. just like the limited dual agency and the changes that happened on June 15th, we have a rule on the 14th and we have a new rule on the 15th. And that's likely what we have to abide by.
Sure. And if you had a crystal ball sitting on your desk that we can't see on camera right now and had to predict where we're going with this, what's your sense? What's that?
I have a magic eight ball. That's
yeah. That's okay. Well, let's turn to that. what do you think is going to happen over the next couple of years with this Perrin report? Do you think this is the thin edge of the wedge and we're well on our way to the change here? Or do you think it's just going to be a continuous status quo?
Real estate is notorious for changing extremely slowly. So I do think that we've actually turned that corner, though, with the Perrin report, that we are heading in the right direction regarding protecting the public and our industry in general. So I think it is the start of something good, because we needed to go right back to the beginning and get clarity on our regulator so we can get clear, concise answers from them, which we haven't been getting for the last 120 days.
Well, it seems to me like, I mean, I've been, it's coming up on 10 years now in this business, and I've met hundreds and hundreds of professional realtors that genuinely care about taking care of their clients. I feel like that has never really changed. It's just all the rules that we have to operate within have changed. But I still believe in the professionals in this industry and the intent they're bringing to every transaction, whether it's dual agency or not, or designated agency or brokerage agency. At the end of the day, I think we put our clients first, and that's what really counts. It sounds to me, I guess the thing I'll just say in closing here is it sounds to me like you're pretty optimistic about the Perrin report, what it's suggesting, the direction it's taking us. Like you see this as a positive change more than just change for change's sake.
It will be. It is a positive change. I think there is significant difference between the Perrin report and his approach and the IAG recommendations. I think he took those few steps back a little bit further and investigated what is the real cause of the problem. And that to say is we're not without some responsibility here. We had self-regulation, and you know, it's arguable about how well we looked after our clients from a professional perspective. So we lost that, but let's see if we can work with the group that are going to be going forward and regulating us and prove that we might one day get it back.
That's awesome. Well, I really appreciate the time, James, that you've taken today to chat with us about this. I'm really... I'm one of those nerds that actually really enjoys and finds this stuff fascinating. So I can't wait to see what the next wave is with the Perrin report or what's the next step. So I'll be paying close attention to it. And then I'm sure you will be too.
It's ongoing changes. It will be very interesting, especially, I don't know how much more time you got, but especially with the stuff that's going on right now with the Office of the Superintendent, they're leading changes as well as a result of the IAG report. So it'll be interesting to see how far those changes get before Perrin sort of jumps ahead of it and stops those and we go in another direction again.
Well, we got nothing but time here. If you want to elaborate a little bit more on that, you're welcome to. Is this referring to the fact that the superintendent's office is suing the real estate council?
No, that has...
That's separate.
That's been resolved. Yeah. And the superintendent did, I guess, win that they have the authority, but in this particular case, they did not win because they factored in the time delay. No, I'm referring to some of the next recommendations going forward with IAG are in regards to managing brokers and their responsibility, liability, accountability going forward. So
yes,
the surveys are out there. There is they're gathering more input as we speak. And I just wonder how much effort is going to go forward and whether it's going to be productive, knowing that we've been told that they might well be gone within 7 months.
Right. So a bit of a stop order might be in order for some of those.
It's interesting. I don't know. So I'm just trying to think it out. I'm not saying that what the Office of the Superintendent is doing is not valuable information, and they may well be collecting that information to use going forward, but it might not be them implementing it. So we will see.
Fascinating times.
Yes, certainly is.
Gives me lots of stuff to talk about on the show, so thanks.
There is.
All right, James. Well, I appreciate you coming on, as I say, and you know, and let's all recognize the last I checked, being the president of BCRA is a volunteer position.
It is a volunteer position. It is a paid volunteer position, however. We are the executives do get paid.
Wonderful.
But
you've been a part of organized real estate for a while now. So I guess what all I'm trying to say is thank you for all the work that you're doing. And for anyone who's watching this, who's on a real estate board right now, or a committee or a task force, you know, at your local board level or at the province or national, thank you guys for everything you do. Because boy, oh boy, there's the rest of us are out here selling real estate.
Oh, thank you for getting the word out. This is certainly helpful. Very much appreciated as well.
All right, James, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You as well. Thank you.
Bye. All right, there you have it. James Palanio, the president of BCREA, weighing in on his take on the parent report, not just his take, but also from the perspective of BCREA. I always appreciate when leaders of the organizations like BCREA are willing to come on the show. I respect the fact they have to toe the line and stick to certain talking points, and it's not always comfortable for them to come on and be peppered with questions, especially in front of a live audience. So thanks, James. Really appreciate it. And if you guys haven't had a chance to flip through the Perrin report yet, I would encourage you, hey, this is your business. This is your industry after all. And you don't have to bore yourself with all 56 pages. The first six pages have a pretty well-written executive summary that kind of outline how we got here, dating back to, you know, the events that took place prior to 2016, then the 2016 the independent advisory group's report, as well as some of the challenges that have come as a result of the implementation of those things, and then, you know, the results of this report here. So all in there. I will make sure that I include the link in the description just below this video so you can take a look at that report. Coming up next week, still working on the details of the exact date, but we're planning on having a colleague of mine, a friend of mine from Halifax, Nova Scotia, on talking about what it's like to work in a market where sold data is available to the public. So if you've been following the headlines around CREA making the announcement that they're going to be making sold data public on realtor.ca nationwide, this has concerned a number of realtors about whether or not that's just another chip off of our value proposition as professional business owners in this space. And so I'm very excited to have him on to talk about what it's like exactly working with sellers that already know what everything is sold for in their neighborhood, or working with buyers who already know what their ideal home has sold for recently, and, you know, whether he feels irrelevant or not. And, you know, how does being the gatekeeper of the information actually factor into the value he brings each and every day in his business? So I think you'll find, the spoiler alert, his business works just fine. He already told me it's not a big deal, but I want to pick his brain and find out what the nuances are of working in that type of market condition. So there you have it. Thank you so much for your attention. Whether you're watching this live, whether you're listening to this afterwards on the podcast or YouTube or Facebook or wherever you like to consume your content, thank you so much for your attention. I definitely appreciate it. All right, guys, have a great rest of your day and an awesome weekend. Bye for now.